welcome back. Hour three, Jeff and Erica with you as we are three times a week to try to bring you up to date and keep you informed about the horrific plans that have been made. They were conceived, and then they were made, created, and deployed against human life as we know it on this planet. It is not a pretty picture. There is much going on that we have yet to talk about in any great detail. We do not want to be in the business of being 100% negative because we don't know. And anyone who tells you all one thing or the other doesn't know either, unless it's perhaps somebody like Fauci or maybe Dr. Robert Malone, people who have been in the business from the core on up to current times. They know what's going on. They know all of it and where it's going and why it has been done. But we'll leave that to them to see if they ever want to come forward and tell the whole story. All right, Erica, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
I'll take your word for that. It's been a long,
it's Friday.
A long week. Yeah, long week. Crazy. We have a lot to talk about. If you can go to guests, all of you, and simply click on tonight's guests, and you'll pull up Jeff and Erica there. You'll see it. We have a number of things to talk about. Monkeypox, H5N1, the bird flu, Evusheld, and we're going to touch on Paxlovid again a little bit. Malone on heart damage to the vax. We're going to do some more updating on CJD crisis out there, and it is a crisis. There's a lot going on. Monkeypox, to start things off, I guess, is what we should do. This appears to be something that didn't just happen. It's another synthetic outbreak of a known disease, which is not necessarily fatal or horrific. It certainly looks it. And maybe that's part of the reason why we believe it has been suddenly put in front of us. I mean, it's here. So it looks awful, and it'll scare people, just like some of the damage done to those who have taken the bioweapon injections. I mean, if you look, let me find it. Where is it here? Terrible. Oh, there's some really bad photos here. Well, you look underneath. We'll get to it in a few minutes. I don't want to jump the gun here. Monkeypox. What, Erica, is monkeypox? And why should we even be concerned much about it?
Well, it's in the same family of viruses as smallpox. And smallpox is renowned for being, I don't know, about a 30% fatality rate. It's pretty severe. It was considered extinct, I think somewhere around, I don't know, the early 70s or so, they stopped vaccinating for it and considered it eradicated.
Well, they had a choice to make, didn't they? They could have eradicated, but for some reason, some groups didn't, and they held on to it.
Well, they've got, yeah, I think the former Soviet Union or Russia has a stock of it, and the United States has a stock of it. But it's been sequenced. It's conceivable that if you know the sequence, you could resurrect this thing. And, I mean, with the techniques they have in molecular biology nowadays, anything's possible. But this is in the same class as smallpox and cowpox, also known as vaccinia, which vaccinia or cowpox is generally harmless, and monkeypox can be also harmless, but maybe severe in people with immune deficiencies. It could be problematic. But it's spread through direct contact. It could be spread through aerosols, but it's kind of a heavy virus, weighty. So you do need probably close contact to be infected. I don't know. It appears as though they've had this scenario in the works now for a year. There was a war game exercise that took place in March of 2021 where they rehearsed this scenario that we're living through right now.
First link under the title of this night's episode. Coincidence? Never. A monkeypox outbreak is another war game exercise taken straight from the globalist playbook. See it all right here. And if you click on that, you'll bring up a page. It's one page. It's page 10 of an obvious large compendium of pages. But it does seem to lay out precisely what we're experiencing. Exactly.
Right down to the date. Right down to the date. May 2022. They the first announcement is an outbreak of monkeypox. So here we go, and you've got a preview of how they're going to plan to run it.
See, May 15th of 2022, and they have that labeled as the attack phase or the dispersal. maybe the dispersal phase, I don't know. But the timing is, this is no coincidence. Just forget that. Doesn't happen. And they project ahead to January 10th, 2023, May 10th, 2023, in a year, December 1st, 2023, a year and a half or thereabout. They're projecting it ahead. Let's just look at number one here for fun. May 15th, 2022, the attack. The scenario, monkeypox outbreak in Brinia. 1,421 cases and 4 deaths. Don't know where Brinia is, but we'll say that that may be a fictional name. It may be the exact location where the first monkeypox numbers were compiled. I don't know. Number two under Move 1, no international warnings or advisories were given about this. Okay? Key issues, international alert and warning systems, benefits of and need for early risk assessment, so they begin to pound the drums of panic and urgency. All right, we won't say fear yet, but there it is, right there. That's the first move in releasing or launching this new potential pandemic. Tell us about number two, January 10th, 2023, where they are projecting they will take this by January of this year. I beg your pardon, next year.
Yeah, so I guess it's
only,
going to...
To be more correct, it's just January, so it's just past December, so it is almost this year. It's 6 months away. Go ahead.
Right. I presume that it's going to fade from the media and kind of simmer in the background maybe, and then they'll spring it on us again in January of 2023. With the announcement that 83 countries are affected and 70 million cases, or 70,000 cases, 3,000 deaths. And this monkeypox is determined...
1.3 million deaths.
Okay, 1.3 million. Okay. I didn't see the dot. Is it thousands or million? I think
million.
The M is...
K is thousands.
Okay, gotcha. You're right.
So, let me just rephrase this. What they're projecting in 6 months, January 10 of 2023, is that 83 countries will have been affected or infected by monkeypox, with 70 million cases and 1.3 million dead to that point in time. That's 6 months from now. So they're expecting this to take off. And when you own the media and when you are masters of biotechnology, you can do it if you want. Go ahead.
So, during this time, they're going to announce that the monkeypox is engineered to be vaccine-resistant.
Oh!
And the national response, effects of early action, I presume this is going to mean lockdowns, track
masks,
and testing
social
and tracking,
distancing.
And
you bet.
All that, quarantines, international supply chain challenges...
Which we have right now.
I mean, you
now.
Can see where this is going.
And
then by May, it's...
Yeah. 480 million cases. Half a billion cases by next May. That's the projection of this scenario. How many dead?
And they're going to... Yeah, okay, 27 million deaths. I mean, this is a genuine pandemic. And a terror group is going to be blamed.
Yeah, and we, the terror group is all over the internet on talk shows and various documentaries and programs. That's the terror group. So, yes, your point is well taken. So, if this plays out the way this game plan says it's going to, it's going to be monkeypox. At least, maybe there'll be another. Maybe they'll double down on us, right? War.
Well, they've got multiple things in the works, and I'm sure the word smallpox will be bandied about in the same sentence as monkeypox, and people will jump to the conclusion that, well, how different could it be? It won't be hard to talk people into a vaccine. Let's put it that way.
Subconscious fear. They're going to kindle subconscious fear. Same exact mechanism. Fear. Fear-based injections. That's what people are going to demand. And when they see the pictures, if you haven't seen pictures of monkeypox, look it up and look at images. And you start flashing that around on the so-called nightly news, or some celebrity gets it, and all of a sudden they've got these large, I don't know if they're pustules or just liquid-filled, but they're about the size of a marble. They're bad. Bad looking.
They're disfiguring,
This has all the ingredients of a horror movie.
Yeah.
Truly. Not that we're not living in one already. But look how people have accepted what's going on. And they're still, for God's sakes, getting these injections.
I know. I know people who have had 4 and even 5. And they're sick. They're just, coughing. They don't feel well. They think they have COVID.
Figure 1 that we're looking at on page 10 talks about, it's called a scenario design summary. These are just the high points of what the plan is. Now, I don't know whose plan this is. We did get the document. It's interesting. It's called Strengthening Global Systems to Prevent and Respond to High Consequence Biological Threats. In a year and a half from now, if their game plan rolls out, 3.2 billion cases, half the people on the planet approximately, infected with monkeypox, 271 million dead. Go ahead.
Yeah, so they have a vaccine ready to go, and they have a treatment ready to go. And if you remember, I think it was June of last year, they were talking about a smallpox vaccine and also an oral medication.
Oh, yes, they were. Yep, they
and
were.
As of May 12, 2022, a company by the name of SIGA, S-I-G-A, Human BioArmor, was awarded a new contract by the U.S. Department of Defense for the procurement of up to approximately 7.5 million oral doses of TPOX. So TPOX apparently is a remedy.
TPOX.
T as in Tom. T-P-O-X-X. TPOX.
Okay. Well, it's kind of a cute little label, isn't it? TPOX. With two X's.
Right.
Like Exxon. Exxon Mobil. Very good. Uh-huh.
So this is designated for the treatment of smallpox, monkeypox, cowpox, and vaccinia. Vaccinia is also... complications following vaccination against smallpox.
Monkeypox spreads in the West, baffling African scientists. It's an operation. It's a psyop. Another forecast, and it's a sowed plandemic. This has been planted. It's obvious. Breitbart reports rising monkeypox cases suggest it's spread pretty wide already. That's what they want people to think. This is all being rolled out.
Well, I mean, I've said it before. It's clear that they want to make money selling people cures for diseases they're creating.
Unreal.
And it's okay if we lose a few million, well, what am I talking about, a couple billion people in the process?
Well, what's their goal? And it's, remember, we don't want to get caught thinking that the Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, J&J, which is now on the shelf, and the others, Sputnik, we don't want to think that that's the only game in town. They can lay, and who was it that said, there are going to be other pandemics, there are going to be other disease outbreaks? It was Gates, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Gates.
So,
and the
they
next
know.
One will really get their attention.
That's what he said. He said the next one will really get their attention.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we now have two-thirds of the population, I would say, who have received this injection, that's not a vaccine, that now have compromised immune systems. So it isn't going to take much to deal the final blow for these people.
No, when you have 12% of your immune system left after two shots, and we don't know what happened thereafter, how are you going to do it? How are you going to handle this stuff? Look up monkeypox. I just pull up do a Google search for monkeypox and look at it. Look at the lesions. These are huge lesions. They're big as a marble, and they're all over the body. And apparently the idea is to drain them and then hope they scab up and ultimately disappear, but they do apparently leave scars. So this is not a fun disease by any measure. So they're also showing their brain testing lab monkeys to see if they get it. We don't know if this is an interspecies thing or not. Came from
monkeys,
apparently.
Yeah, it is. It was
so there you go.
It's associated with squirrels and I believe prairie dogs and monkeys can get it, and humans can get it. So it does go back and forth between those animal hosts. But if it's spreading among a human population where it's never really spread before, it's either
and
been
seeded.
And the
human population has next to no immunity for anything.
That's key. And I think that was the plan, to give the population something that's going to disable their immune system and make them susceptible to things like this. And then it's going to look like, it's spreading like wildfire, and it will be, because that's what happens when people can't fight it off.
Now, this is interesting. Tell them what you saw today. This goes in perfect lockstep with what you suggested earlier, that smallpox and monkeypox are going to be, if not confused, certainly put in the same basket by most people. What did you find?
Hold
on. This came in on another channel. Let me, it's a note. It says, Jeff, I saw this today. They are already giving smallpox vaccines in the UK since they think monkeypox is a similar virus, which is what you said. It's seen in mostly homosexual men, at least so far. Also, the lesions start on the face. And I know who sent this in, and thank you, Nurse Anne, very much.
Well, that's just it. So it's in the same family as smallpox. And the average person may not know that, you know, monkeypox is not anywhere near as severe as smallpox.
It looks horrible.
Yeah, and you could easily fool the average person. Look what they did with the coronavirus with a 99% recovery rate.
99.997% recovery rate with no treatment. And if you gave treatment such as D3, it's probably 100.
Right.
So, we're splitting hairs here. It's silly.
No, they are not averse to exploiting, the scientific illiteracy of the general public, then they will. And the whole thing is predicated on keeping people in a state of fear and ignorance.
All right. Well, they've got 500 billion people shot up with something that in obviously a great deal of cases is going to be fatal for them. That's a given. Now they're going to drop another plandemic, according to what we just looked at. Look at the document. Read it. It's right there. It's the first link under the title of tonight's discussion. This coincidence? Never. A monkeypox outbreak. And then click on that. Look at how it's laid out. The dates are there. The figures are there. Those are the projected victims of this new pandemic. And that's not all. They could easily hit us with what? H5N1. They've been talking now for weeks about bird flu and how close to 40 million chickens and turkeys have been killed already because a USDA inspector shows up at a chicken farm, chicken ranch, an egg ranch, a turkey farm, and says, aha, avian influenza. These birds must be killed for the betterment of all mankind so no one gets sick, no danger, etc. They're going to hit us with that, too.
They've got a vaccine for that one now, too.
It's already. Come on, friends. You can figure this out. These dots don't even need to be connected. They grow together.
Right. That's incredible.
Okay, here's another story. Go ahead. Go.
No, it's not going to be hard to pull off the next pandemic. I mean, it's disappointing that not everybody can see what's going on. There are still people that are deathly afraid of getting COVID. And you spring something like this on them, that they'll go for it. So there's still not enough people that are awake to what's going on. There's a lot. You know, a lot of people have had their eyes opened in a very brutal way. But there's still enough that
they
can pull it off.
Yes, of course they can pull it off. When you own the media, that's the reality that most people live in. That is their reality, or a great deal of it. Here, bottom story under Jeff and Erica. Take a look. Gates and Fauci caught funding gain-of-function experiments on H5N1 bird flu that could turn it into the next deadly pandemic. Now, monkeypox is deadly, not terribly deadly, but it's deadly.
No, it shouldn't be.
Correct.
Well, the bird flu, okay, so it's carried in birds. Humans can get it, but the human-to-human transfer has never been known to happen yet. But when humans do become infected from having contact with an infected bird or their droppings, it's about a 50% fatality rate. So if that were to become transmissible human to human, that could be problematic. But what the research that was done in the, I don't know, right around 2012, Ron Fouchier, who was a very prominent influenza researcher, his lab was able to make the virus with not that many changes. I mean, I think about 5 mutations, and they were able to make it transmissible in ferrets, aerosolize it so that it would spread among ferrets without direct contact. But what they found out was it was not lethal. None of the ferrets died. So,
well, what could a reason be for that?
I think whatever mutations the virus assumes when it's becoming more transmissible, sometimes it loses its virulence. I mean, the virus wants to reach an equilibrium with the host. It wants to, well, copy itself, replicate.
It wants to
replicate.
Be a successful parasite.
Yeah, so it's not, you know, killing the host is not in its best interest. So that does happen many times when you know, something becomes more transmissible, it becomes less virulent.
However, when we have people like Fauci and Gates funding gain-of-function work on bird flu, they might be able to overcome anything like that and have it become even more pathogenic. We don't
well,
know.
Well, the wild card, yes, they know enough about these viruses now that they know what the virulence factors are, and they can, you know, modify them to be that way, but I don't know, I don't think they know. All they have is animal models, how transmissible that would be in humans. I mean, I did read something that they covertly injected some homeless people in Poland several years ago they told them they were giving them an influenza vaccine, and in reality it was the actual virus. To see what would happen, and it was deadly. But I don't know how successful these homeless people that ultimately died were in transmitting that virus to other humans.
Well, excuse me, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I'm going to take the dark side here, and I'm going to suggest that they have the technology to not only make H5N1 aerosolized and communicable human to human, but that they can make it far more virulent if they want to. I think that they're that good. I think they've gone that far down the road of technology. I think everything is run through supercomputers, not just for modeling, but for tips and tricks on how to do this and that. You've got some incredible computing power working on your side, and I think almost anything is possible. Here's an article. I'll read a little bit. Is it just a happy coincidence that at the precise moment the world seems to be returning to normal, we're getting warnings of another pandemic looming? Bird flu, commonly known as avian influenza, H5N1. Dr. Robert Redfield, former director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, stated the following. I believe the great pandemic is still in the future, and it will be man-made bird flu. It will have a considerable mortality rate of 10 to 50%. That's right, 10 to 50%. It's going to be a pain. In the understatement of the week, anyone who knows a little bit about bird flu is likely to wonder where Redfield and the other experts are getting their predictions, as natural bird flu is notoriously harmless to humans. In early April, news of a highly pathogenic bird flu ripping through chicken and turkey flocks in the U.S., triggering the slaughter of millions of these animals, was reported. Historically, however, the bird flu has never posed a threat to mankind. I'm going to stop there and just suggest again that the technology that these evil bastards have will allow them to do almost anything with these pathogens. I believe that. I'm not a scientist like Erica. I'm just a journalist, a reporter. I watch, and I know that the technology is there to do things like that, and I know that if they want to, I believe they will. That's just me. Bird flu has already been weaponized. Let me finish. I'm sorry. I just saw this. Bird flu has already been weaponized. By the way it looks, the only way human bird flu would appear would be as if it was created and you wouldn't know it. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the NIHIARR, has funded gain of research with the intention to make H5N1 transmissible to humans. As has global vaccine profiteer Bill Gates. So both of them have poured money into making this thing transmissible human to human. So that would suggest what I'm suggesting may be correct. I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I think the key here is the large numbers of people that are immune suppressed now because of these injections. And by the way, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, it's still here. Despite what Fauci is saying that, it's diminished to the level of a seasonal flu. If we listen to Gerrit van den Bosch, no. This thing is simmering in the population right now. It's gaining attributes that's going to make it more transmissible and more virulent because of this immune suppression that these people have. They're able to harbor and maintain an active, productive infection with this virus, while at the same time putting selective pressure on it to mutate, and so it can survive. And that's why we're seeing unvaccinated people getting sick, real sick, because the virus that you know should have been gone by now is still around, and it's being maintained in these people that have compromised immune systems, and they're shedding it and spreading it to unvaxxed, and it's a more virulent form, and it's gaining. I mean, Omicron right now, if we even believe that's a mutation and not another lab construct, is mild, but this potential for more virulent forms because of what they're doing, putting selective pressure on it, it's real, and that's going to be a part of the picture too.
Well said. Here's another angle. Do you remember I told you some time ago about this doctor Yoshihiro Kawaoka that Yoichi Shimatsu was the first to kind of dig up and make popular, although I'm sure Kawaoka didn't want that. Yeah. Mm. This article goes on to actually mention him, and you don't see his name very often. In the featured video called Ice Age Farmer, details Gates' funding of whom? Dr. Yoshihiro Kawaoka in Wisconsin, I believe University of Madison, to identify mutations in various bird flu viruses that might have pandemic potential. Fauci had also funded Kawaoka's work since way back in 1990 to find the mutations in various bird flu viruses that might have pandemic potential. This Fauci is really a great guy, isn't he? In one experiment, Kawaoka mixed bird flu virus with the Spanish flu virus, resulting in a highly lethal respiratory virus with human transmission capability. Kawaoka, who is now in Japan, I understand, has also played around with mixtures of H5N1 and the 2009 H1N1, the swine flu virus, creating an airborne hybrid capable of completely evading the human immune system, effectively rendering humans defenseless against it. Not to mention that 5 billion humans won't even have an immune system left. On a side note, this extremely risky research was done at a biosafety level 2 laboratory.
Yeah, so that research is fairly well known. I mean, he was working on that around the same time as this Ron Fouchier was working on his stuff in the Netherlands, Rotterdam. But that was openly that was open research. I mean, they were openly funded by the World Health Organization. They were looking into this. They wanted to know could this thing become transmissible human to human. None of the work was secret, really. It was, as I said, funded. There was oversight.
Says here that
there was accountability.
Fouchier's work was also funded by Fauci.
Yeah, yeah.
WHO money.
I mean, they wanted them to do this work, so, and they did it.
And
now, what happened
ago,
after that,
Trans.
That's when the stuff got moved, you know, underground, because it caused such an outcry. You know, what are you doing? I mean...
Right.
So they're still doing it. We just don't know about it. And they've done much more.
All right. I just think the sky's the limit with these lunatics, my sense. All right. Next up, we got other things to do here. Dr. Robert Malone, you want to set this up while I pull the video up real quick?
Yeah, so Dr. Malone gave another interview and was describing how it appears as though everybody who has gotten the mRNA vaccine or injection coding for the spike protein is now at risk of permanent heart damage. the myocarditis seems to be a feature following the vaccination or injection. And whether it's symptomatic or not, there appears to be heart damage in every case.
Okay, here is a little bit, just 2 minutes of Dr. Malone on the Dell Big Tree interview program. Here we go.
Two things that we haven't touched on that I have in Dr. McCullough shares, in particular Peter, the cardiotoxicity risk concerns. So it's now clear not only that these shots are clearly associated with cardiotoxicity, myocarditis, and pericarditis. There has been an attempt to minimize the nature and duration of that damage, but it's becoming more and more clear as the data are rolling in. Remember, we're still just, what, a year and a half after rollout of these vaccines, okay? Normally, it's, you know, 3 years after finishing the phase three before we go to licensure. We've rushed all this stuff out, and the data are coming in stronger and stronger that these are causing subclinical myocarditis may be occurring in the majority of vaccine recipients if you test the right enzymes, okay?
Wow.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Okay? Clinical myocarditis in boys in the Hong Kong study is a huge number. It's something like 1 in 2,000, 1 in 3,000 boys have to go to the hospital after the, typically their second dose. Then we have these data coming in that the myocarditis signal is cumulative. So if you take one dose, you have a lower risk. Two doses, it's higher. Three doses, it's still higher, so you have cumulative cardiotoxicity.
I mean, dose dependency tends to be, isn't that one of the major
marks of pharmacology and toxicology?
Like if there's a red flag, it's the fact that dose dependence should be firing that off.
It's usually considered to be proof. If you see a dose-dependent relationship of a toxic event, it is usually considered to be, you know.
If people don't understand it.
Okay, so there you go. Yes. The idea of subclinical myocarditis, pericarditis just might be occurring in a majority of the vaxxed. Yeah, that's got legs. That can run. So keep that in mind as well. All right, next up. Where are we going here? We have so much to do. CJD. Let's do that. We've got two things to read here. And we want you to understand, and we've tried to make this clear before, that everyone who has been vaccinated has lost or is losing the majority, if not virtually all, of their immunological competence. They don't have any. It's done. The interferon, which Erica was first to point out, in the cells is one of the keys to preventing cancer from racing amok in the human body. And the spike protein, among many other things, wipes out apparently the interferon. Just give us a little bit more on that, if you would.
Well, not so much the spike protein, but what they've put into these injections to make the transfection possible or successful. They have to put something in there. It can be any number of things. It might be microRNAs.
Yes.
It could be, the URA3665. I contend that that is a microRNA that's targeting the interferon production of that of the cell. But they have to do that to get the cell to produce a foreign protein without going crazy and self-destructing or shutting down. But so, yeah, interferon is taken offline, and that's one of the major players in the immune system, first line of defense.
When you first presented that, I didn't understand the mechanics of how it was eradicated, and we don't know, or do we know, does the body somehow reestablish interferon at the cellular level with the production of new body cells, or is it just gone?
That's a good question. In the course of this infection, the SARS-CoV-2 infection, some people generate autoantibodies as a consequence. And so they will destroy their own interferon.
See, the diabolical nature of this whole infection issue is once you have no immune system, anything can infect you. And if you already have in your body, if you're alive, you do. How many bacteria and viruses does the average body usually have? They're not necessarily pathogenic, but we are loaded with viruses and bacteria at all times, which are often held in check by things like interferon and the immune system. And when you lose the immune system, these bacteria and viruses can start to run amok.
Yeah, well, I think the first step in having that type of dysbiosis is an imbalance in the good organisms versus the bad, pathogenic or disease-causing organisms. The first step is a drop in oxygen levels and a rise in acids, depending on the body compartment. But low oxygen compromises all of the organs and tissues. So they're deprived of a blood supply and oxygen supply, and they begin to die. And that's when you get bacteria and fungi and viruses taking advantage of that situation. I mean, they are beginning the process of composting the body, decomposing it and returning it to the earth, so to speak.
That's what happens when you die.
Yeah.
All of these
bacteria.
Yeah,
the minute somebody dies, there's... Uh-huh. An explosion of bacteria because there's no blood, there's no oxygen, and they begin feasting on the dead tissue.
Decomposition. Okay. We're going to spend more time on this in the coming weeks, but I think the point is well made. All right, we have two CJD stories. Which one do you want to start on first? Dobson?
Sure.
Okay,
or how about the other one?
All right. That's Deidre. Okay.
Right.
Starts with a D anyway. All right. I'm going to read part of this. I'll stop. If you can follow along. My text is so small, but I'll try and read it. And there are coded words probably in it like most of these. Okay. This has to do with CJD or mad cow disease. Prion disease, or VCJD, or NVCJD. They have all kinds of different labels for it. All right, this woman writes, I posted this last night in the CJD family group, but was told by others it was helpful. I apologize if some have already read it there, but I guess I felt the need to share it as it's been a very rough period for me. I also apologize for jumping around and some of the grammar as I'm postpartum and it was the middle of the night. I sit here wide awake in the middle of the night between the chaos of having an almost 5-year-old and now 4-month-old. I tend to crave the silence, which then becomes deafening. My brain is beyond tired, it's beyond fried, and still thoughts rush in of my mother who I lost technically on May the 5th. I say this because my birthday was May the 4th, and despite passing a couple of hours before midnight, I will always correlate her death with my birthday. Mother's Day being 3 days later didn't exactly ease the pain either. A few months back, my mom started having trouble with her legs and walking. She said the doctor told her she had Baker's cysts. We were later told this was a red flag for CJD, as well as other tests they run and gave explanations of scoliosis, for example. If you follow that, why don't you go ahead and pick it up there when Christmas came?
When Christmas came, my mom seemed very unfocused and almost uninterested in the fact that my pregnancy was not going well and I was having serious health issues. I remember tears welling up in my eyes as we did the dishes because I couldn't understand why she was so off in space. Very much unlike her, she couldn't wait to be a grandma, and my children are the only grandchildren she had. All of my worst fears had happened, and I was rushed to the hospital and intubated when I gave birth to my son. What's sad is that on January 3rd, I sat in my room crying all alone. My mom hadn't even called, texted, or come to see me to find out the sex of the baby, what I had named him, or even if I was still intubated. I had no idea what I could have done that would make her so distant. Huge change of events within 8 days. Throughout the month of January, I would call, but she wouldn't answer. My stepdad always said she was sleeping and blamed everything on long COVID, despite her not having COVID or testing positive for it. Finally, right before the end of February, my mom came to meet her grandson. I had just bought my house in December, which she had then saw. While holding the baby, she asked if I would give her a tour. I knew then and there something was clearly wrong. A few days later, my stepdad called and said he had taken my mom to the hospital. I could tell he was awkward, but I still pressed for details before he stated my mother claimed my grandmother had been napping in the room. She died in 2008, and my grandfather was reading the paper in the chair. He died in 2016. Doctors said she tested positive for COVID, and despite the 5-day isolation... Whoops. We were not permitted to see her for 2 weeks. At the time, I was annoyed, but now I find this crushing, as it could have been 2 weeks I had with my mother. On March 18, my mom was diagnosed with CJD, and doctors only told us she'd have months to live. She died less than 6 weeks later. By the time I was permitted to see her in the hospital, she had already forgotten the more important details of her life, and within 2 weeks forgot who I was. I never really got the chance to say goodbye, because by the time she was diagnosed, she had already lost her mind, and it was too late. I want to be angry at her for leaving me, but I know it isn't her fault she was sick. I want to be mad at the doctors for not diagnosing this sooner, based off symptoms, but I know they wouldn't have randomly thought to test for CJD. I want to be furious at everyone and anything that didn't save her, despite knowing there is no cure or way to bring her back. But I don't care. My heart hurts. My brain hurts. The transition daily and now permanently from the wounded little girl, grieving daughter, to adult mother, new head matriarch, is overwhelming to say the least. My mom was 66, and she died on my birthday. Funny, I'm now 38, and I suddenly feel like the little girl lost in the grocery store, tears streaming down her face, looking for her mother, just searching.
How many are there like this, stories like this, out there now? Countless.
There are more and more surfacing every day. This was supposed to be a rare disease.
And a disease that could take years and years to really manifest to the extent that it became a terminal illness. 6, 8, 10 years. And now it's happening in a matter of weeks or months to many
people.
To be fair, it
generally is silent and until, you know,
it's too
extensive
late.
Damage has taken mm-hmm. place. And that's when you finally get the outward symptoms.
But
I can tell
years,
you that
people, they can act normal during mm-hmm. those years.
Oh, yeah.
They can still function. They don't know. Go ahead.
There are a lot of these that seem to be manifesting shortly after these injections. And people are noticing a correlation. I mean, the number of reports of people in the prime of their lives, you know, middle-aged, and then within weeks, sometimes days, of these injections, they're not the same. Their personality changes, their cognition changes.
major damage. If you go ahead and look at the rest of the links under our section in guests, you'll see a terrible story. And I do want to warn you that the pictures are terrible, graphic, really frightful. A 32-year-old double-vaxxed woman, dead, eaten alive by horrible necrotic ulcers. We think it's group A strep, but double vaxxed.
Yeah, it may be several different strains of bacteria or that can cause that, but that's strep A is a big one.
Yeah.
But that's
okay,
horrific.
There's another, well, you'll see the pictures. There's another story, Candida auris outbreak in Las Vegas hospitals. They're all there. They're in the news headlines as well, or will be a little later. So that's our program tonight as we roar through another hour trying to keep you updated on all of this. It's not a pretty picture. The monkeypox thing, we're watching very carefully. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see an airborne human avian flu that will follow along in the not-too-distant future. They may hit us with two. Then we'll be sitting literally under a cloud of three plandemics, in addition to the potential of war. So how much can the human psyche take before it begins to break down? That's the question.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, thank you. Good job,
okay,
as always, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, Jeff. Thank you. Have a good night. Good weekend, everyone.
And we'll be back Monday, and the network will continue to bring the programs to you all weekend. Thanks for being here. We appreciate you. Take good care, and we'll talk soon.